Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
Oh, baby, I want to get with you and take your picture. Trey. Oh.
Yes.
There's no better way to start an episode. Start. Go ahead. You got one, too? Oh, that's crispy. I don't have anything to pour. Mine's a beer. So. Oh, man. That's good radio. It's good radio. Although that can sounds like it's got a little bit of a prostate issue. A little bit of weak flow. As always, ladies and gentlemen, I am Dale Lippin in here with none other than my partner in crime, the rudder to the ship, the man with a plan. One good foot, a bad back, and you're finally, looks like the state of California tells you you got to put the helmet back on. So what's going on, short bus Trey Van Buskirk? What are you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm wearing the helmet in preparation. Do you know how they say, like, in celebrity world, like, deaths happen in threes?
Yes.
You know that? You've heard that?
Yeah. Yes, I've heard.
For me, injuries happen in forms of like 15s or 16s because I cannot walk outside of my house without getting injured, dude. I'm injured insanely right now.
Right? What's going on? Yeah. What? Tell me what's going on.
Well, I threw my back out on Saturday because I threw a probably 4-pound bag of ice into the bed of my truck. So apparently I'm 100 years old. Uh-huh. And then my back got better after 48 hours because I'm an absolute savage. I'm kind of like a chameleon. You can rip off one of my legs and it just grows right back. I go to jiu-jitsu and just being the stud I am, I just refuse to tap to a nice Estima lock. And my coach rips my foot off. It looks like the size of a softball.
Throw it up. Let me see your feet. Put your feet on camera.
No,
I won't do it. Put your foot up. Dude, put your foot up.
I won't do it, dude. I won't do it. Because that's for premium members only. You pay $9.99 a month and you get the foot picks, dude.
I want to give a shout out to everybody that sent us feet picks. It's been a while since we reminded folks that Trey loves feet picks, and the DMs got quite a few feet picks this week, and we appreciate it. Listen, Trey, we've got a good audience in here tonight. It's a pay-per-view card. Can you just do us a solid and throw that foot up so we can see it, man?
I'm not doing it, dude. I can't take my sock off. It's literally a 5-minute process.
Come on. This is the same guy, if I'm not mistaken. Didn't you? What was the one show you did where like you poured peanut butter whiskey, like just you were like just
yeah.
I mean, you've thrown water on yourself on the show. There you go. There it is. Yeah.
All right, let's take these socks.
That's what it was. You didn't want us to see the sock. That's a good hibiscus on there.
Oh, dude, it hurts so bad.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it hurts, dude. It hurts. It hurts. You know what? People say like, just tap and move on to the next round. To that, I say, this is the UFC, bitch. I refuse to tap.
Bro, your leg. Dude, like your foot. Like whenever you watch a true crime show and they don't show the dead body, they just show the leg or like the foot laying there in the blood. That's what your foot looks like.
Yeah. No, it looks like when you go to like a scream zone and they just have like a severed foot there that looks like clearly plastic.
Dude,
that's what it looks
seriously.
Like.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That's wild. So like, I don't really know what to say to that. If you're an audio only person, now's the time to make the switch, at least for the first 4 minutes and 30 seconds of this show, because you've got to see that ankle in person, live and in the flesh. Are you going to go to the doctor to have that looked at? Because, I mean, I'm not a big doctor guy. I don't really trust science. But that seems that seems like something you should have looked at by a professional that knows what they're talking about.
A little bit of an issue, Dale. I was in between jobs. Don't have insurance for the next 3 days, so can't go.
Don't have insurance. It's the one thing those pesky Canadians have on us, man, is that freaking universal health care. Yeah. Dang it.
3 days, I'm going to the doctor. But for right now, can't go.
Dude, in 3 days, you should twist your ankle at work.
Dude.
Workers' comp.
I think that's what it is. I'm getting injured because, like, the universe knows I don't have insurance. And they're like, let's just, like, rock this kid's world. You know what I mean?
All right. So as our resident black belt in jiu-jitsu, in a steamer lock, what is that? What is that? Is that like a pain compliance or a tap or it'll snap kind of thing? Like a Kimura? Like, what is that? Is it a pressure? What sort of discomfort does that cause that produces the tap that you clearly didn't experience enough of?
It's like a straight ankle lock. What happened is I was caught in 50-50 and I kind of used the 50-50. Yeah. I love 50-50.
I know,
like,
you're
the
big
scissor sisters,
guy.
Dude.
You are
the
scissor big 50-50 guy. I've heard this about you. Go ahead.
That north south, I'm extremely dominant.
Yeah.
Well, 50-50 sweep. And then my foot just got caught in the chest, and then he yanked down in a straight ankle lock.
Yep.
The thing popped, sound like early 4th of July fireworks. Ooh. To then I said, ouch. Yeah. And I had so much adrenaline pumping through me that I didn't do anything. I didn't look like a bitch, which was dope. Then I got in my car, played some Britney Spears, cried, came home, tried to make it look like it didn't hurt too bad in front of the wife, and then cried some more when everyone went to sleep.
So here's our plan. You know me, I love gaming systems, especially because they're all broken. I've got a foolproof way we're going to get paid. Cutwater's not going to sponsor us. We should probably just let that go.
Okay.
But this is going to be more lucrative because you are going to roll your ankle at work on the way to the bathroom. The bathroom floor is going to be wet. You're going to roll your ankle. Okay. Yep. And then when they send you home and you start collecting your workers' comp, because now you're fully remote. Screw that 3 days a week in the office that you're doing now. You're fully remote thanks to this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You are going to put forth the investigative effort to prove that Israel Adesanya used steroids. Did you see his challenge that he issued today?
$3 million to anyone that can provide contextual evidence that he has done or knows how to utilize steroids.
Yep. As our resident expert in performance enhancing drugs, allegedly, what do you think you're going to uncover during this investigation?
Well, I think I'm going to go towards his left tit. That's where I'm going to go first. I think
is his left titty. I believe it's his right. We might want to start start by getting our left and right correct.
Okay. I'm going to go towards the right titty, and I'm going to understand the floppiness in comparison to his left titty.
That wasn't there prior, like the fight prior, that nipple was fine. The next one, it was like, it looked like an egg coming off of a nonstick skillet.
Well, it's interesting because you call me the resident, performance enhancing drug aficionado. I call you the nippologist. You are your nipples are always hard.
I'm a big nipple guy. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So you diving into the nipple piece, I feel like you and I could just get these $3 million very easily.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I'm a big nipple guy. Everybody knows that about me. It's well known, big nipple guy. So yeah, I think so. I think so. Want to address a couple things I've seen in the chat. I just want to give a couple shout outs before we get started. Boston Brews and Bet said made a drunken max bet on Olberg and Durden. Now he gets to enjoy Cutwater Mai Tais. Congratulations.
Yes. Nice work.
I see another one on here that says, damn, Trey got some biceps. Is that deer antler spray working already? Are you on the antler? Did we establish this? Are you going back on?
Not on the antler, but I appreciate it. Thank you, Adampa 1006.
Yeah, I think it's just Adam PA. I think you can probably just go.
I'm going to go with Adampa.
Yeah. Let's see here. And then Kelly says, you're not going to make it to my age. For those of you who are unaware, Kelly was the one that submitted the feet pics that so many of you said ruined your day before it even got started. So shout out to her. And then I see some regulars in here, guy who loves beard. And a couple of you guys said that you're normally audio only and want to stop in the live stream. So as always, we appreciate that very, very much. Austin says, I looked and there's no cutwaters in my area. Big sad. Yeah, that's big sad energy, bro. That's big sad. We'll figure out a way to get if we were sponsored, we could send a care package. We could dump Operation Dumbo Drop, get one of those sent to you. Remember, do you remember? You look like a big Operation Dumbo Drop guy. You ever see that movie?
I've been on the ride.
What? There's a ride?
Yeah, Dumbo.
Oh, there's a Dumbo? I didn't know. I'm not a Disney guy. I've never been.
Oh, yeah. It's cool.
Oh, okay. I'm saying like there's an old movie with Danny Glover called Operation Dumbo Drop where I think it's like they're in the army and they use an elephant and they drop him from an airplane and he's filled with like supplies and they try to like help impoverished people in Cambodia or something like that.
Sounds like an awful movie.
I knew you wouldn't get this reference. I mean, anything that involves a movie or TV show is just
gone.
Absolutely. Unless it's Paul Walker, then you suddenly know line for line. Look, you see the way your eyes just lit up as soon as I said PW, you just were like, what?
Anytime a PW is dropped in our line of work, it's titillating.
Yeah. Two things that get you super excited, Paul Walker and hard R's. And you just light up, man.
Yeah.
Really into it. Producer Jake is not here, so we will do whatever we want. But we ask for a little bit of grace when it comes to the banners and stuff at the bottom, because we're gonna do the best we can without him here. He usually runs the show. But he very sketch. Can we address Producer Jake real quick? I don't want to get too far off topic. Producer Jake sent us the sketchiest cancel text message I think I've ever gotten today.
Oh, I didn't read it. What did it say?
He sent it to you and I both. It was in our group chat. And he said, sorry, guys, I can't make it. I have to drive an hour away from home later on tonight.
That was it?
That's it.
Drugs.
That's it. I have to drive an hour away from home later on tonight. What does that
drugs.
Mean? Drugs.
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 Yeah.
In 2022, can't you get the drugs brought to you? Why do you have to drive an hour for drugs?
I don't know. Maybe it's the performance enhancing, dude. Maybe it's some deer antler spray. I don't know. That dude's off as a rocker. Right. I love
it. Okay. Here we go. So what happened last week? We had a good show. It was good. We had 10-6 on the record last week. 10-6 on all plays, which was good. I'm cool with 10-6. I'll take 10-6 weeks. Bad unit management, and that's my fault because I'm the unit management guy.
Yeah.
We lost. Yeah. We had two plays that really bit us in the butt. One of which was the Armand Sarukian money line. That was a two-unit play.
Brutal
loss. We gave money back there. And then the other one was Nurmagomedov inside the distance was another play that we lost. Yeah. We lost money on. So outside of those two plays, we cleaned up. We did a great job. And I feel better this week because there's a ton of great spots, and we're about to start talking about them here in 30 seconds. A ton of great spots this week that you and I are both in agreement on, and then there's a couple that we're going to try to persuade each other on, and then hopefully with the help of the chat, we are going to decide on something. Let's see here, what do we got here? First time listening to you or first time live with you guys? Thanks, man. Thanks, Ryan, for popping in. And then what's the shirt? This is a Taylor Tombstone Johnson send in the Cowboys shirt that was not allowed on Showtime. Whenever he fought on the Showtime Bellator card, because it has a gun on it, they took it off. So, we are. Should we tell him about the new shirt?
Yeah, we can do it.
Okay, we are in active communication in the design process with Roy over at Allegiance Clothing. Guys, go to allegianceclothing.com. You can use promo code Punch. You can save 15% off site wide, or you can wait until the new shirt drops. We're talking to Roy right now. We're calling it audible. We're not doing the Caucus Mountain Warrior shirt next. We are doing the Women's Science shirt next.
Yeah, it has to be done.
It has to be done. It has to be done. Austin, I see you. I know. I knew completely there was a delay there and it completely destroyed you. The Caucus Mountain Warrior shirt is going to come next. We want to do we're going to do women's science. We're going to do women's science.
The science is real, guys. The science is real.
It's never been more real. We're making so much money betting on women's underdogs. It's shocking. It is shocking. It really is. And I'm so happy for it. So we thought we have to do women's science. We'll do Caucus Mountain Warriors whenever Islam fights Charlie Olives. We'll do it for that or something like that. But right now, we're definitely. Hold on a second. Stop. This is why we have to do this stuff online. Bang bang on the sleeve.
Damn. Dude, bang bang.
Dude, bang bang on the sleeve. That's good. That's good. I like that a lot.
So dude, women's science followed by a bang bang.
Dude, so we'll do the women. We'll let Roy's designing it right now, but we'll make sure we get the bang bang on the sleeve.
Oh man,
dude, I'm really excited. Or do we want to do bang bang on like they usually do the allegiance tag up there. So we'll leave that. But we'll
What if we did one bang on one nipple and one on the other? So it's like bang bang, you know, dude, on the nips. Bang bang.
Oh man,
for women's science.
And right, it's for women. It's completely respectful, and then you just get them.
Totally respectful.
Yeah.
And it's 2022.
100%. Oh my gosh, I love it. I'm a big fan of this.
Yeah. And actually, dude, there's like, this is a premonition because there's a lot of women's science on this card, Dale. I'm going to be honest. And actually, one of them really is tearing at my heartstrings. It's not on the main card. We will talk about it later. But my chick that I really like that you think has like a speech impediment or some type of weird allergy 24/7, she's going to die.
I'm excited to talk about it too. I know exactly who you're talking about. All right, you want to get into this card? Let's do it. First fight on the main card. Is it Robbie Lawler, Brian Barberena? Hold on. I got to pull up the official bout order.
Jake, dude.
I know. He's not here. Hold on. Let me pull up the official bout order.
It is. It's Brian Barberena and Robert Lawler.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
Did you call him Robert Lawler?
That it's weird. Again,
I feel like you just called him Robert Lawler.
That's probably his real name, though.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure his real name is Robert Lawler, but
I'm going to call him Robert for sure. For the listeners, I don't plan on drinking as much as I did the last episode, but to everyone's benefit, did not eat lunch again today. Didn't have time. So the cut waters are hitting different.
Yeah, they always do. All right. And I'm drinking IPAs, so we're good.
It's good. All right. Yeah.
Let's do it. Full disclosure, everybody knows that I hate IPAs, but this was left over from a combo pack, so I got to get it done. All right, Robert Lawler, slight favorite here against Brian Barberena, plus 100. This is like Robert versus Brian. This is making me really happy. All right, Brian Barberena is at plus money here. Over on rounds is at 2.5. If you're interested in professional records for either one of these gentlemen, Robert's at 29-15. Brian Barberena is at 17-8. Robbie Lawler is a grown man that's almost 40 years old and still goes by Robbie. I'm pretty sure at this point it's because he hates being called Robert so much that if you called him Robert, he would look at you like he wanted to punch you in the face.
That's true. This is a frat boy special, Brian versus Robert. Like, come on.
Yeah, this is
whale belts, vineyard vines at its finest.
This is like, this is like our dad's era. This is like two dads fighting. This is like, this is like two 49-year-old men that want to get after it, right? Like at a little league baseball game, just getting into it, right?
I didn't hear no bell.
How are you going to call that a strike, Brian? I don't know, Robert. Maybe your son could keep his eye on the ball, right? And then they start fighting. And then the moms are screaming in the background. You got Tammy and Crystal going at it. So
yeah, Sherry's fired up right now.
Yeah. Sherry, well, that's a good one too. Sherry's super fired. All right. So anyway, let's get after this. Brian Barberena, he's at plus money. He's looked better as of late. Are we putting any stock at all into Robert's performance against the too bad, so sad heartbreaks Sarah McLachlan version of Nick Diaz that showed up?
Well, I know, but also with Brian Barberena, you fought another 40-year-old old man and Matt Brown in this last fight. So my question here is, Dale, after that fight, he straight up said, dude, I don't know, I think I'm done. You know, I've done enough work, I've had enough wars, like I'm kind of out unless the UFC like gives me something massive. Well, you know, We have a women's fight that falls out. You get a main card spot against, you know, who is going to be a UFC Hall of Famer and Robert Lawler here. This is a tough one because when there's anyone that has one foot in the octagon, one out, to me, you're just like, bro, like, come on, we got to fade this. And as of recently too, we've seen it with even women's fights, you know, people that have been in the game for a long time, unbeknownst to us, if in fact they were planning on retiring, they come in and they suck, dude, they suck. And I just won't have it. Yeah. But the thing is, UFC cannot keep putting these marketing reels together of showing Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald.
Yes, bro. You can. Yes,
no,
you can.
You cannot, dude, because that was back in like 2007. I won't have it, dude. I've changed a lot as a man since 2007, and I won't bet like I did in 2007. I'm going to bet on the here and the now with the Woodland Fairies. Robbie Lawler did not look that good against a piece of shit Nick Diaz, dude. But Brian Barberena is 1 foot out of the octagon. This is a crapshoot, dude. This is a crapshoot. I hate this fight, but I love it. I hate it, though.
So the Rory McDonald fight happened in 2015. So let's clear that up. We need to. I don't know if you're saying 2007 to be facetious, or if you really believe that that fight in 2007. But I want to be sure that we clarify that that's what happened. And I think we're gonna backtrack here because I believe that Sean O'Malley and Pedro Munhoz is the actual first fight on the main card. I'm just looking at the bout list, and I think that's the one that pops up. Doesn't matter where we're at right now. I agree with you to an extent about the retirement thing, but we have seen that the retirement thing can be both a ploy for negotiation, in addition to, it's such a knee-jerk reaction when you lose a fight, right? Because you put so much into it, so much effort, you're there with your team, it's a highly emotional thing, and you're just like, screw it, I'm done, right? So yeah. Like Eddie Wineland, right? Eddie Wineland just retired after his last fight where he got knocked out. But prior to that, several weeks prior, the UFC signed him to a new 4-fight deal. Like he puts it on his Instagram. Hey, just signed 4 more fights, 1 last go, once more into the breach. This is it. Goes out there, gets knocked out. And he's like, I'm done. I'm done. So it's very hard to put that kind of into the retirement thing, unless somebody admittedly like Cowboy, right? Like we know that the clock is ticking on Cowboy, and we'll get there shortly. Cowboy, Dana White saying it's a loser leave town, or was a loser leave town fight when it was Lowe's on. But Cowboy saying, I'm going to get 50 fights. This will be 48. So he'll have 49 and 50 available to him. If he wants them, apparently. But who's betting money on Cowboy? Spoiler alert, we aren't. But we're not here to talk about Cowboy. Robbie Lawler. I like Robbie Lawler minus 120 here. I Brian Barberena can't really help himself but get into brawls. And I know he had a possible fight of the year contender against Matt Brown. That was an amazing fight. It really was. It was a fantastic performance. But it was a fight that he should have won way easier than what was presented. I mean, that was a fight that he should have been able to dispatch Matt Brown, and he just could not get it done. And if there's one thing about Robbie Lawler we know, is that he's insanely tough and does not go away. Now, three rounds leads to the opportunity where Brian Barberena can outwork him and win 2 rounds. But at the end of it, Robbie Lawler will be there standing. He will be there. He's not going away. Brian Barberena will not finish Robbie Lawler on Saturday night. He won't do it.
I don't know if I can say that, dude, because to be honest, as the resident performance enhancing drug specialist,
I see that say, one person says something about your biceps. All of a sudden you're stretching behind your head over and over again. Just talk, quit flexing your biceps.
No, I'm going to keep doing that. And if you didn't notice earlier, and I was kind of bummed you didn't say anything, when I took the helmet off, I did a hair whip, but you said nothing. So that's frustrating. I will say this. With Robbie Lawler, he has been the poster child for post-USADA bullshit. This is a guy that looked like fantastic, was a dog, durable, great cardio, just in your face, pre-USADA. Pre-USADA. Since USADA has taken effect, what have we seen? We've got a shell of himself. And, oh, he looks good as of recently because he fought a guy that was clubbing in Vegas for the past 12 years and high off whippets. Give me a break, dude. Come on.
You think Nick Diaz is a Whippet guy?
I think he's a Whippet guy.
You think he's a Whippet guy, really?
I think he's a Whippet guy.
That's pretty wild.
Huh. I don't think he's like high class Coke. I think he's Whippets, dude.
You think he had like the gun? Like the Whippet gun?
No, I think he was like old like whipped cream cans and just getting the,
no
the helium out of that.
Way, bro.
Yeah, like Dumb and Dumber status. Yeah.
Gosh. Whippet guy, huh? Interesting.
Yeah.
Special breed for Whippets. Special breed. I mean, dude, that literally, I mean, that's, if you've never done a Whippet.
well, let me tell you.
It will. Rogan talks about DMT. Let's talk about Whippets. No, it's, it, that's a, I mean,
this
I guess.
Inside the distance fight.
That is not an inside the distance fight at all. This is a goes the distance fight.
Okay. Which I think is at plus money.
I'll tell you right now.
That would be cool.
I really want to move past this fight because, to be honest with you, I'm there for the violence, but I don't care enough about, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so fight goes to decision is at minus 170.
Totally fight, right on that. Perfect.
Fight doesn't go to decisions at the plus 140 mark. Under 2.5 rounds is at plus 155. And then you're looking at the over being at minus 190. And then at 1.5, if you're interested in that, over 1.5 is at a minus 310. So, I mean, Vegas is telling you either that or they're trapping you on what they think is going to happen here. What's interesting to me, if we want to talk about big plus monies, right? Like if we want to talk about real big plus money, Robbie Lawler in round three, plus 1,600. Plus 1,600. Ooh. If you remember the Matt Brown fight, Brian Barberena was spent in round three.
He's gone.
And somebody with more power could have gotten him, right?
Yeah.
Couldn't have gotten him out of there. Robbie Lawler does carry that power. I know he's not in USADA. I get it.
Yeah.
But a round three play on either man here could prove profitable. As you know, let's see here. Barberena in round three is also available at a plus 1,600 spot as well. So both men available in round three plus 1,600, depending on what book I'm pulling these from, DraftKings. You can find both those round three plays plus 1,600. Maybe worth a small little prop sprinkle,
bro.
Because what? I'm not saying we're gonna play it. I'm just.
No, no.
Putting it's just, it out there for the people.
You got pissed at me for saying Ariel last week, and then here you are dropping the DK.
People want to know where you can find it.
Well, I know, but I have my money invested in Penn, which is a direct competitor of DraftKings. So we're not talking about it.
Well, when Penn starts putting their stuff up on bestfightodds.com, where I can find the best odds on fights, I will reference them, but they're not on there right now.
I'm over it, dude. I'm over it. All right, let's go to the next fight. Frustrated me.
I'm sorry. Sean O'Malley taking on Pedro Munhoz. Munhoz at a plus 255. Sean O'Malley minus 305. Over in rounds at 2.5. This, I'm just going to throw this out there.
Yeah.
The biggest dog with the most action on Saturday night is going to be Pedro Munhoz.
Mm.
But you should consider playing Pedro at this spot.
Mm.
He's the proprietor, the OG, the one, the only, the chosen one when it comes to calf kicks. He's the first one.
Ah.
Sean O'Malley, super weak legs. Yep. They're going to talk about the reach. They're going to talk about the size advantage. They're going to talk about the speed disadvantage. All of these things. And all of them favor Sean O'Malley. And I won't pretend that they won't. But Pedro Munhoz is essentially, he calls himself the young punisher, but he's essentially the little Terminator. He's incredibly durable, even though he gets hit a ton. He hits very hard. He does not go away, and he will chop you down like a tree if you stand in front of him. So Sean O'Malley can outwork him for three rounds. I believe that, but only if he can move, which I think Pedro's plan right off the rip is going to be to try to completely hobble Sean O'Malley. Dog with fight in him that's worth a sprinkle if you're considering playing big dogs is Pedro Munhoz at plus 255. I don't trust any other dog outside of Jessica I to fight for my money the way Pedro Munhoz is going to on Saturday night.
This is awkward, Dale, because that was a beautiful that was a beautiful breakdown. As you were going through it, I was like, oh, that's cool. I'll provide some value to this podcast by talking about Sean O'Malley's length of reach. You covered it. I'll be talking about Pedro Munoz having good calf kicks and Sean O'Malley being weak because of the Chito Vera. Or I was going to talk about the durability of Pedros, and I was going to talk about the bright lights that is Sean O'Malley. There's nothing I can provide because your beautiful breakdown there. But I will say this, dude. I get worried that Pedro Munoz, because the lights are so bright, he has tend to stray away from his game plan. And what's indicative, but he came out on the good side of it, was the Cody Garbrandt fight. Him coming in there and swinging like an absolute fucking madman, just in the phone booth, just winging left and right, stupid game plan. But he connected and he was able to capitalize. Him coming in and doing that with Sean O'Malley, who has pinpoint accuracy in his strikings, bad idea. If he comes into the fight, though, and says, you know what, I'm going to tear apart those little chicken wings, those little ankle bites, those little Arizona little bitch holders, whatever they call them, that's a great plan. I hope he comes in and does that and ends this hype train. I like Sean O'Malley. I just, you know, I want Pedro Munoz to get this done. I think it's a fair play to play Pedro Munoz just straight up money line at plus 255. But I see Sean O'Malley getting this thing done. But I do see him getting it done actually by decision because of the durability of Munoz.
What's crazy to me is that if you look at a guy like Pedro Munoz, even though I think he beat Frankie Edgar, right? Like Frankie got the split decision win. I think he beat Frankie. He's lost four out of his last five, which I think is leading to this line a little bit. But his losses, Dom Cruz, Jose Aldo, Frankie by split, and Aljamain Sterling, right? Yeah. So, like, we're talking about former featherweight champ and two-time title challenger at bantamweight, Jose Aldo, former bantamweight champ in Dominic Cruz, current bantamweight champ in Aljamain Sterling, and former lightweight champ and featherweight title contender in Frankie Edgar. He literally is fighting the best of the best of the best. The only wild card in the entire thing, and that was his sole win over Jimmy Rivera. So, and Jimmy was very good. Jimmy had his moment in the sun in the UFC as well. And maybe he will one day. Again, I was honestly surprised to see him leave and go to bare knuckle, but we're not here to talk about Jimmy Rivera. I just think Pedro's a live dog here. I think you could do worse. My concern with Pedro is he is statistically the most hittable fighter on the roster. I know we say that every time that he fights, but the stat remains the same because he gets hit more in every fight. So he continues to grow that lead. The way Max Holloway is landing significant strikes, Pedro Munoz is absorbing them. So that is something that you need to pay attention to. And my concern is that you can only rely on that chin for so long. And if O'Malley hits him with that accuracy, accuracy can trump power depending on where you hit him. So I'm loving Pedro as a live dog here. I think he's worth your consideration. But there are signs that say that O'Malley should win this fight, but I'm okay with a Munoz play. And I think it's worth playing.
Sounds fair to me.
Okay. All right. Let's see here. The next fight on the card. Where are we at here?
I'm pretty sure it's this, and this is why I had to.
It should run be Sean out. Strickland, Alex Pereira, right? Yeah.
Yep, that's what I have up. And I, in the middle of your or the last part of your breakdown there, I had to bail and go get one more cutwater because there's only a few people on this planet Earth that I think that are actually physically stronger than me, but dumber mentally than me.
Oh, wait a second. Okay, hold on a second. Wait. That was a. That was you were a careful with your words, so. So you think there's very few people on this earth that are stronger than you physically.
Yes.
But dumber than you mentally.
Yep.
Oh, man, I think I'm falling on the other side of this here.
See, that's a tough one. To be honest, when I said it out loud, it didn't make much sense, but I'm trying to make it make sense right.
So you're saying that you're more likely to find somebody that is both stronger than you and smarter than you?
Yes.
Sorry. So am I to believe that most smart people are stronger than you?
Yeah, because they like commit to programs and they understand time allocation.
Gotcha.
This poor right here is for a poor son of a bitch, Sean Strickland, dude. An absolute fucking moron who, by the way, I'm just going to jump right into this breakdown. Alex Pereira to minus 110, Sean Strickland at minus 110. Pick him over under 1.5. Dude, I'm going to jump into this because the frustration I've had this week with hearing this bullshit about Sean Strickland. All he's got to do is go in, this former kickboxer, the one guy that's taken down Israel Adesanya. All you got to do, dude, is you got to go in there, you got to shoot for a takedown, exploit the ground game, Sean Strickland has an underrated Dale ground game, like super good, like insanely good. Bro, he does not. That was exploited by Orlando Sanchez and Costa Mesa at the rookie camp.
Oh, my gosh. Arm lock,
Orlando he cried Sanchez. Like a little bitch, dude. He cried like a little bitch because of a straight arm lock on an entry.
Okay.
Sean Strickland is a moron. Not only is he a moron, he's a fucking fake fighter. And I say that because he is a guy, and go back to the Uriah Hall fight. He's a guy that talks a big game, but he will fight to win the fight and then at the end talk shit like a badass. I don't like that. Alex Pereira is a pure kickboxer. So for striking, people could talk about Sean Strickland having this great boxing. Strike for strike, Alex Pereira is going to have better striking. The more well-rounded game, sure, it's going to go with Sean Strickland. But this exploiting of a ground game, it does not warrant what he has in his arsenal because he cannot do it. Alex Pereira, I was hoping he was going to be a dog here. I'm taking Pereira, dude. The Sean Strickland hype train ends tonight.
Well, tomorrow, Saturday, next week. It's going to end. I would say that the wrestling approach for Sean O'Malley and where the love comes from that is going to be pre motorcycle accident. We've seen an evolution in the way Sean Strickland approaches fights and executes in fights post motorcycle wreck. He's much more, I mean, that's why he moved up in weight classes as well. He's not doing the road work anymore to make 170. So 185 is where he's at because that leg is a nightmare, that leg and that knee. If you look at the people that have beat Sean Strickland, they've been creative strikers. And they've also been people that he doesn't have a reach advantage over. Pereira is gigantic. He's a very large man. The MMA experience is not there, admittedly. But if we use the Easy Dos Santos fight as sort of a precursor to what Strickland is capable of when he faces a fast, creative striker, wheel kick knockouts are on the table, boys. So it might be something to consider. That being said, I want to give a shout out to one of the sharpest minds out there that we talked to. He likes the Fed post in our chat from time to time. One of the suits and ties, our boy Double Nichols sent over a quote from Sean Strickland today that I want to read because I think it's relevant to what you said. So bear with me here while I wet the whistle. I'm going to read what Sean Strickland said during the press conference today. All right. Alex Pereira is the one who knocked out Israel Adesanya. So here's what you can do. You could have him go, and then he'll eventually fight a wrestler who will take him down and beat him. And then they'll never get the Izzy shot. Or they could be like, hey, why don't we have him fight Sean? Sean doesn't like to wrestle. Maybe if he beats him, then we can float him up to the top. So this is purely just a ploy by the UFC, putting him against somebody who likes to strike to potentially get him an Izzy shot. The UFC, I applaud you, but I might fucking wrestle.
Sean said that.
Correct.
Yeah, man, that makes me think he's smart now.
maybe
he read a book.
Dude, remember I told you I used to believe that Sean Strickland, before they let him talk, I used to think that he was like this weird Rain Man style before he like was Tarzan. Or no, I think he was still Tarzan. When he was welterweight Sean Strickland, he would just come out. He'd kind of stand there like serial killer Rory McDonald. He would go out. He would murder people. He had a shaved head, like skin shaved. He would just murder people. They put a microphone on his face and he'd be like, I'm really happy I came out and performed well. Thank you, everybody. And then he got in the motorcycle wreck, came back, and he's just like full blown
white supremacist, just absolute psychopath.
Don't call people white supremacists.
He admitted it. I'm not just calling that. He admitted it.
He said that for a while as a youth, he believed that the white race was superior.
And then he joined a clan.
He did not join a clan. First of all, there's not a clan. There is the clan, and he did not join it.
Well, he did something with them.
Well, no, he didn't. He literally said he was hanging out with some neo-Nazis, which, I mean, who hasn't?
What?
Who hasn't done that?
Talking about this guy right here.
Gosh. I mean, San Diego is one of the hot, like the most incredible neo-Nazi hotspots in the United States, clearly.
Dude, not at all.
That's okay. You keep thinking that. You keep thinking that. How many white people in your neighborhood, Trey?
All.
just straight blonde hair, blue eyes running around your neighborhood. Yeah, you keep thinking that. You keep thinking that.
Anyway, everyone just looks like Paul Walker. It's super
everybody
weird.
Just walking around. Exactly. A whole neighborhood of Paul Walkers.
Yeah, there's some Heath Ledgers, but we keep them away.
Yeah, they're a little bit more fringe. We want Michael Fassbenders and Paul Walkers over here. I'm going to need you guys to stay over there. Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to tell you, man. You got to open your eyes. You got to see these things. They're out there. All right. Look.
I'm taking Pereira, dude. You
can't I know you're taking it. Pereira. I know you want. I know you. I feel like it's a trap. I'm going to co-sign this.
Can
Pereira.
I interject? Sorry, real quick.
Yeah.
I have to interject here because I want you to think about this for a quick second.
Okay.
The judging has been absolutely atrocious this year.
It's real bad. It's real bad.
And if you don't think that a fix could potentially be in, you, sir, have not read a book. The UFC wants more than they want anything. They want Pereira. They want Adesanya. They want a big MSG, whatever it may be. Mm. And Sean Strickland is but a ploy.
I just read that to you. Literally, you're reading. You're saying that as if it's your idea, but I just read it.
I know. All right. So we're taking prayer.
Yeah. I would love to read some of your papers from college. I'm willing to bet they're just like verbatim of other people's stuff.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, they're all plagiarized.
Yeah. Big Quizlet guy. Okay. I got you.
Quizlet?
Yeah.
Quiznos. It's a sandwich place.
Quiznos was a sandwich place. Quizlet gives you the answers to tests.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a thing?
Oh, yeah.
I remember Spark Notes was a thing because I hate Spark reading. Notes, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've read one book in my entire life. It was Holes, which was a fantastic book.
You've said that. And then the movie starring Great American Treasure, Shia LaBeouf. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Yeah, 100%. You're a Shia fan. You don't even know. This is a good opportunity. This is a good opportunity to plug your book, by the way. Trey, admittedly, has only read one book his entire life. But if you don't believe me, Trey is an accomplished children's author. This is a real thing. So if you want to, where can people find your book? It's on Amazon, right?
It's on Amazon.
What is the fastest way? You're a big search engine optimization guy. What is the easiest way to find your book on Amazon? I'm plugging your book. Listen, I said this to you a year ago. It's funny. I was looking back on my Amazon purchases for 2021. You are my first thing I bought in 2021. Your book was the very first thing I bought in 2021 on Amazon.
Well, it's doing fantastic. And Amazon thinks so too. That's why they've discounted about 79%. So ooh,
that's great, dude. That was a great time to get a deal. You buy the dip. Buy the dip.
Buy the dip. Buy the dip.
Buy the dip.
Go on Amazon, type in the word Captain Scallywag. If anyone out there, anyone wants to know the origin or the genesis as to how the donut got its hole, Captain Scallywag's your book.
Here's the thing.
It's not a gay thing. He didn't like put a dick through it. It's like it's a real story. It's
definitely a kid's book for sure. dude, everybody listening to this right now that has not heard us talk about this is going, there's no, these guys are full of it. They're full of it. They're full of it. You wrote a children's book. Your book is on sale right now. I'm looking at it on Amazon for $4.22, which is as a person who owns a copy of your book, it is an absolute steal. And I'm just
real page turner.
I'm gonna share the listing real quick. Hang on. It's a real dude. I bought that book, gave it to my kids. They read it like 15 times.
Well, you know what's funny though is you say it's a children's book. I wrote that for adults.
This is a real thing. If nobody else tells you today, I'm proud.
I'll tell you this. I will tell you this, Dale, as it relates to fights. this is probably the only book that Sean Strickland's ever read.
If not, we should get him a copy of it. We should get him a sign. Okay. So those of you that can see the screen, Captain Scallywag, right? Yep. Yeah. Check it out. A Donut Life for Me. Hardcover. Yeah, I got a soft cover. I got the paperback. This is a hardcover. $4.22. Paperback's actually more expensive. Can you explain that to me, why the paperback is more expensive than the hardback?
It's because the book sucks.
No, it's not. It's a great book.
Buy the dip.
By Trey Van Buskirk, author, with Devin Seymour, illustrator. Devin did a fantastic job.
She did. That's the best part of the book. If you want epic drawings, Devin did a killer job. The writing, there's no punctuation because I don't know how that works. And the English language is a little bit, skeptical.
Can we acknowledge something in the chat here? 39 five-star ratings. Absolutely. I encourage you to get on your Amazon account and give it another rating if you want to.
All friends and family.
doesn't matter. Boston Bruins. Yes. Purchase. And then he says, will you sign his copy?
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. I will do that.
Okay.
I kind of awesome. I do this cute thing called I like write R thank you for your purchase. And I say, and you know what I say, Dale? I write in the book, I go, for the youth, dude. I like to motivating quotes. Yeah. I say, don't glaze over your passions and enjoy life's sprinkles.
Dude, I love that. I love that. Oh my gosh. Dude, yeah. I like that a lot, man.
Thank you, dude. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh man. Dude.
I know. The first time someone like read that out loud, I was like, man.
Yeah. I'm Jesus a big fan. Quote. Yeah, for sure, man. You could be like, don't be jelly of other people's accomplishments.
Fuck, that's so much better.
Roll with the punches. Oh man. Dude, I'm a big fan.
See? Yeah. You came up with that in 5 seconds. Yeah. What I just read you, I like sweated on for months.
Right. Oh, don't let life bear you down. Claw your way to the top. Dude.
A bear claw. You're kidding.
Oh, man. I like this. I like it, man. And then lastly, for the more adults, don't be afraid to get a little cream on you. All right. So let's. Don't be afraid of your cream filling. All right. Let's see. For the ladies. Don't be afraid of a little cream filling. All right. Co-main event of the evening. Alexander Volkanovsky taking on Max Holloway. The Blessed Express, 23-6, taking on Alexander the Great Volkanovsky at 24-1. This is a trilogy. I don't know. I mean, maybe some people are asking for it. I mean, I think people just honestly, they just want Max to win the belt back. I have nothing against Alexander Volkanovsky other than the fact that I just don't like him. Is it weird to just say I just don't like him? Like,
why not?
That's what I'm saying. I don't even have a reason why. I just don't have a reason why. But like, I don't know. Like I feel about him, right? Like the way you feel about like a brother-in-law or like a sister-in-law, right? Where you're like, as long as you're nice and personable and you treat people well and you're not obnoxious, like I'm cool. Like we're cool. But like, you know, it's like, I just want to, like you're my favorite person in the whole world. Like I'm not starting the Alexander Volkanovsky fan club. You know, if I got a Volkanovsky NFT, I'd probably sell it. You know, I just, I don't know. Something about him just doesn't check my box, but he's a great fighter. I loved him in the Korean Zombie fight. I loved him in the Ortega fight. I think most of it stems from the fact that I thought he lost the second fight against Max. I really thought he lost it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just make it done. I mean, I'm not into breaking this down just yet because this is a title fight. We got to talk about it for a second. He's a -210 favorite over Max here. You're getting Max Holloway at plus money, which seems like a gift from the Lord. In a fight, and I thought Max won the second fight, and Max has looked good since then. He looked great in the Yair Rodriguez fight. He looked great in the Cater fight. Why don't you play? Like, we have a ton of people listen to the Oceania, listen to us in the Oceania area. So I love you guys, and I appreciate your support of our show. And I'm gonna pick Izzy to beat Cannoneer, but I'm gonna pick Max to beat Alex.
Whoa, spoiler alert, dude.
I'm sorry, I'm burying the lead here because I don't want them to turn it off before we get there. I'm gonna take Max at plus money because it feels like a gift to me. I don't know when I'm ever gonna. How often? I mean, our show didn't exist the last time you could get Max Holloway at plus money.
Dude, there's a couple things here. Well, I guess first we're gonna start to like pull apart their personalities because that makes a lot of that's a big deal here in betting. Volkanovski's a little monkey man, dude. He's a little monkey man. Yeah. Here's the shocking thing. A little spoiler alert for you guys. Max Holloway, everyone talks about how he's so tall and he's lanky and the reach. Bro, Volkanovski's got the longer reach by 2 inches. Shocking. Volkanovski's also like an explosion, dude.
Yeah.
An explosion of little midget violence, bro. He just kind of comes in and out. The way that he can circle in and out is fantastic. His ground game's amazing, which you know Max is never going to faint. Max is going to consider himself the greatest boxer, which he did show in the Cater fight.
He showed himself to be a superior boxer, not the greatest boxer, not the best boxer.
In that division?
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Fair? Say fair point.
Fair.
No, say fair point.
I just said it's fair.
No, I want to hear fair point, Trey.
What am I, a tennis line judge? Fair point, Trey. What? Go ahead.
Thank you. The thing is, I get nervous with people, and I know there's people like the Dom Cruises out there, which, by the way, people say I sound like, and it frustrates the fuck out of me because I don't look like that little rat.
They said sound. You immediately go, look, you just admitted they say sound. You guys sound identical.
I look nothing like Dom Cruise. He's like widow's peak.
But you sound like him.
Absolutely not.
Yes.
I send it back. But people want to talk about identical. Do you stop it? Stop it.
Sorry.
Okay. I don't even know where I was going with the Dom Cruise thing. God, he fucked me up, dude. Bring it back.
You got it.
I lost it.
No, you didn't. You're right there. You're the one who brought up the Dom Cruise thing, not me. I'm just saying that you do sound like him. You do sound like
Dom Cruise. Got it. Here we go. Boom. Came back. Dom Cruise says there's no such thing as ring rust. If you look at the consistency and you look at the time off that Max Holloway has had versus like a Volkanovski, Volkanovski is not only getting the reps in, but he's also getting the variability in the competition that he's facing. When he's fighting Korean Zombie, he's getting a guy that's going to walk forward and he's going to strike. When he's fighting Brian Ortega, he's getting someone that has the crazy ground game. That's so scary, but he still was able to move from it. I think the evolution of the full mixed martial artist, man, I'm going to keep flexing right here. Full mixed martial artist. The full mixed martial artist has to reside in Volkanovski. His game's just more complete. Now, if you think that Holloway, with his volume and his striking, is going to land to accumulate to more greater significant strikes, I understand that. But I also understand that Max Holloway has had a marble mouth for the past 3 years. And when is that going to erode? You think, well, maybe he's going to get an injection because you know what? Bryce Mitchell got camo in his shorts. Maybe Max Holloway is going to get floral. And that's going to bring a new revitalization to his game. But bro, this is the third one. The pressure's on Max because if he loses this, there's no way in hell he will ever get the belt from Volkanovski ever. It will not be left from the clamored midget hands that Volkanovski has. Volkanovski is the more complete fighter at this time. He's also the more less of a ring rust type fighter. You got to take Volkanovski here. You got it, dude. Do it. Just do it.
I like what you said here. I salient points, fair points abound. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with everything you said here. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry. Keith in the chat wanted to hit me with some cut water. ASMR. I'm not really sure what that is.
That's the weird thing for people like on YouTube where they listen to like girls eat like potatoes real close to the microphone.
That's a hot thing?
Oh, it's a big thing. It's a big thing. We talked about this before. We've talked about this before on the show, yeah.
Yeah, chicks 100%. That are just like chewing in the mic.
They'll chew, they'll get like they'll grab stuff and they'll like.
Okay, I'm gonna be honest, that's kind of hot though.
They do all kinds of like, and it, apparently for certain people, it creates this sort of like neural response where it like makes, you know, some people see colors, some people, yeah, it makes their hair stand up. It's very weird. It's a very weird thing. I don't get it at all. It creeps me out. I don't
do that
like
scratching thing one more time.
Yeah, sure. I got you, bro.
Yeah, okay. Send me that to me. Send that later.
You're like stumbling through it. Oh my gosh. Let's see here. Kelly's, I'm not even gonna put that up because Kelly is coming in hot in the chat. She is firing shots at you, bro. Anyway, jeez, oh man, she's coming out swinging. Oh, okay.
Everything's blurry.
All right. I'm on board with what you're saying. And part of me feels like I want Max to win, right? Like I want Max to win. So we've talked about one of the pitfalls that I continue to run into is I'm betting with what I want to happen versus what is most likely to happen, right? The most likely thing to happen is Volkanovski is going to beat Max Holloway. The accumulation of damage over time, the way that he's looked in his recent outings, in particular, the killer instinct that he showed in the Korean Zombie fight, the fact that when Max was almost at his most mythical, right, going into their first fight, Volkanovski beat him handedly. Like, there was no question to me that Volkanovski won the first fight, right? And then Max made the adjustments and came out and fought competitively in the second fight. And in my opinion, won the fight, but didn't matter. Alexander Volkanovski won the fight, still has the belt. Nothing that I've seen out of Max would lead me to believe that he's going to come out there and do anything different. What concerns me is that both of these guys are talking about finishing the other one, so that way we can put this trilogy to rest. And Volkanovski says he wants to go to 155 and get a second belt, which to me is a curse. It's like getting a wedding ring tattooed on you. The moment you do that, it's like it dooms your plans. It dooms them. Do you have your wedding ring tattooed on? Do you have your wedding ring tattooed?
No, but I thought about it.
Oh, don't do it. It's bad juju.
No, because I surf a ton and I've lost like 15 wedding
rings. The rubber ones, bro. Just get the rubber ones.
No, those are lame, dude.
They are lame, except for you keep your nice one, like for when you go on a date night or like family dinner or whatever, you put the nice one on. But anytime you're doing anything outside of that, put the rubber one on.
What am I switching out jewelry? I'm some type of chick? Bro,
how many watches do you own?
Three.
Exactly. So don't talk to me about rings. Buy a rubber ring, put it on. It's okay. Easy. They're freaking, this one was $20 on Amazon. And if I break it or lose it, they send me a new one.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I respect it.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And every time I lose it, I just tell them I lost a different color. Like, it was a blue one. It was a red one. Yeah. It was a black one. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Okay. Max feels like a gift at plus money, but it's because of who Max is and how much I like Max. My disdain for the Volkanovski play comes from the fact that I just don't like Volkanovski. The most likely thing is Volkanovski wins the fight. I'm just being honest. And if Volkanovski shows up on our slip on Saturday nights, cause you put him there and it's because I slowly backed away.
Yeah. It's good.
I cursed Musasi last week. Can we acknowledge that real quick?
You did 1000%.
Yeah. I owe Gegard Mousasi an apology.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Gegard. I cursed you.
Bro, speaking of which, because I don't know anything about Bellator fighters, because I don't really give a shit, because I think it's second tier promotion. No, but there's a guy that fights out of ATT that is a full on Guido that is the most obnoxious guy, and I'm kind of a fan of him now.
Whoa.
Yes, dude.
Are we saying Guido now?
Can you not say Guido?
Well, I don't know. I'm just now. I have not heard anybody call an Italian person a Guido since I was like 14. So
what? Did you not watch Jersey Shore ever?
That's when Jersey Shore was out.
No, it was not.
When was the first season of Jersey Shore? I believe I was in high school still when that came out.
Really? Wow. Man, I think so. We are old, Dale.
Yeah, 100, says the guy who threw his back out lifting ice for his for his kid's birthday party. So yeah, we are old. I don't know. I was talking to my buddy Brian about this today. I don't know another way to tell you this other than to just say you like we have to establish the fact that we are getting old now. Like it's frustrating. And it feels like time's slipping away.
Yeah.
But just know that you're not as old as some people who have even less time than you do.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of there's older folks out there. So I make the most of what you have now.
I thought that like Snooki was still relevant and all that shit. So being like saying Guido was like fine. It was like saying, what's up, amigo? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and it very well may be. You know what's crazy is I just haven't heard anybody call Guido. Call somebody Guido in a long time, but the guy you're talking about, I believe, is Danny Sabatino. Sabatino, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy's insane, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Colby energy, which he says he does not like that comparison, but big Colby energy. And he has to know that.
Yeah. Yeah. That. Yeah. That's wild. Everyone should watch out for that guy.
Yeah, for sure. What's he fight? 100, is he 135 pounder?
Yeah. He's a little guy.
He's a little guy. Little guy. Yeah. Do you think you could tap him?
Could I tap him?
Yeah, could you tap
probably
him?
Not.
If he gets
apparently my jiu-jitsu is shit, being that I'm old now.
If he gets into your guard, could you tap him?
I don't know. I don't know what his style is. All I know that he's got a fantastic tan, great hair, and he's got a huge mouth.
I need you to just say yes. I will tap him out.
Oh yeah, I'll tap him out.
Yeah, I'm a shark, and he's a guppy.
Yeah, king of the north south.
That's right.
Recognize, bitch.
That's right. See, that's all I needed from him. Main event of the evening, Israel Adesanya at 22-1, taking on Jared Cannonier at 15-5. I'm going to keep this one short and simple, right? Izzy is the rightful favorite at a minus 500. Cannonier is getting his title shot because Izzy wants to fight him here. What concerns me, because you've been, something's been surfacing lately, and it's been like orbiting around my life.
Okay.
And I can't put a finger on it, but people keep talking about it. And you've mentioned it on this show, the idea of the story of a fight, the idea of this, what the UFC wants and the story of it.
Real talk.
Yeah. The Jared Cannonier story.
Not a good story.
It's a great story. It's a great story. Living out of his car, fighting at low budget promotions in Alaska, flying down to train at the MMA lab, flying back up, going from heavyweight to light heavyweight to middleweight, turning his life around. It's a great story. And then Israel says, I want to fight Jared Cannonier. Why do you pick? I mean, yeah, maybe he might be. I mean, he's circling the idea of worthy for it. Why is he picking him? Like, why?
Oh my gosh, Dale.
Yeah, right.
So don't like, you dude, cheeky bastard. You conspiracy son of a bitch.
You guys keep bringing this up to me, and I'm just saying it out loud so that way it's out there. I'm picking Israel Adesanya. I'm picking Israel Adesanya. But the storyline makes me nervous. That's all.
Who's marketing it, though?
Nobody, but they will.
Nobody.
They will, though.
No.
They will.
If they were doing that, they'd be like, hey, this fat sack of shit that literally looked like just a heavyweight that wasn't going to do shit, that decided to choose to shred down, look like a male, like black version of Zoolander, dude. Straight up.
You tiptoed that one nicely. Good job. Good job. You walked right to the edge. You walked so close to the edge, and you were like, pivot.
Have you ever slacklined before?
No, because I'm not
a hippie and I don't eat granola.
Fucking slacklined. If you could pick somebody that you thought of slackline, if you put a lineup of people that are potential slackliners, do you think I was ever going to hop in and be like, hey, that guy's a slackline? What do you call them? Slackies? That guy's a slackie for sure.
No one calls him a slackie.
What are they called?
I don't know. I don't do it, dude.
Slack attacks?
I don't know.
Slackums, slackers,
gay
liners. Oh man, come on, bro. Jeez, oh man.
Bro, here we go. The deal. They have not marketed that because that's not the story that they want to put forth at all. They want the story of Pereira versus Adesanya. That is a fantastic story. I didn't know that story. I knew obviously about him going from heavyweight to 185, 100%. But did I know about the flying back and forth? You know, the time put in, all this stuff, like the good old American story. I didn't know that. That's a fantastic story. It's much better than a guy that beat another guy in a kickboxing match 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a much more marketable, real to the human being story.
Right.
But they won't do it. If they were doing that, I would jump on that conspiracy train with you and I'd be like, Dale, damn it. There's a story here. We're journalists. It's 2022.
We're not journalists at all.
We're not.
No.
No, but Adesanya's going to win this fight.
I think
it's why. Kenner, dude. He's
too slow.
He picks his shots. He likes to strike and win winning affairs on the feet. When the thing is, for the power that he possesses and the weight cut that he has, he should have the strength to push this up against the cage.
He does.
Make Adesanya lay on his back, kind of like Jan Blachowicz did for brief moments in the fight. He should be able to smother him, but he won't do that. He's selective, and he's going to get outpowered. Outspeeded, whatever that fucking word is, Adesanya is going to win this.
Yeah, one. I think Izzy's going to win it too. So we're going to talk about the Jim Miller Cowboy Cerrone fight here shortly, but I'm going to say it right now. Obviously, we're going to have a very large play on Jim Miller, but another play that I really like that I want to bring to everybody's attention is a Jim Miller Israel Adesanya parlay will bring you to about a -130.
Not worth it.
What are you kidding me?
Absolutely,
that is
not
free money. What?
It's so sketchy. I have way better parlays than that. That one's a bad one.
You think Jim Miller and Israel Adesanya at -130 is a bad parlay?
You're gonna take a dude that's we're gonna old fighting a guy that's
hold on a second
Lyme disease.
Are you gonna pick Cowboy Cerrone when we talk about this fight?
I don't know, dude. Let's
I get will to the cancel. First fight of the I will prelims. Shut. We'll shut this whole fucking show down. If you try to pick Cowboy Cerrone, I'll disconnect. I will go offline. I'll end broadcast.
Don't you dare. No, don't. Okay, I'm just going to say this. When we get into that breakdown, if you say any shit, I'm going to say this right now. If you say any shit and putting weight in your betting because of his nickname, I send it back. I send it back hard.
First of all, A10. Best nickname in the game.
Stop it. Just every time, dude.
It's the best nickname. It's the best nickname in the game. But I will, for the sake of your delicate sensibilities, I know you're upset about Roe v. Wade. I will not, I will not say anything about A10. All right.
What does that have to do with Roe v. Wade?
Why do you keep talking about Roe v. Wade? All right. Jessica Rose Clark at 11-7, taking on Julia Stoliarenko at 9-6-1. We're over an hour in and we're just getting to the prelims. So kudos to everybody that decided to hang out for this. Jessica Rose Clark, -180. Julia Stoliarenko, +155. Over and around is at 2.5. Full disclosure, because I'm going to let Trey talk about this one first. You guys have to know that Trey is a gigantic Jessica Rose Clark fan, not because of her fighting style. So take that into account whenever you hear him talk about her fighting, that he is a big fan of not her fighting style. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. Yeah, she's hot. We'll start there. She's hot.
Yeah.
And it's a problem, guys, because I'm blinded. It's a problem. Her style is not that great. At one point she was a pinpoint striker, and now she's become this person that wants to push up against the cage and wrestle. It's probably driven from Team Alpha Male, which is another fantastic, probably great camp. You have fantastic looks and you have a fantastic camp. Put that all together and you have a fantastic burrito of just winning. The problem is she's not that good. Julia Stoliarenko, if you guys don't remember, she also doesn't know how to manage her weight. She's someone that gets on the scale and practically dies. And the problem is she carries that like skeleton, I just dehydrated myself to the fucking ninth degree into the fights, which then wears down on your cardio. So when you have someone in Jessica Rose Clark who's going to use a grinding style against someone who took a massive weight cut, who clearly just can't hang at this weight, That's a huge problem. But here's the deal, dude. Jessica Rose Clark, if in fact she were to get this on the ground, that fares into Stolarenko's game plan, because Stolarenko's great off her back. She's got a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and she could easily, easily choke out Jessica Rose Clark. If Jessica wants to be smart, she needs to stay away. She needs to strike from distance. She needs to utilize her footwork. So I am taking women's science because it's fucking hitting every week. And I love it, dude. I'm taking Stolarenko. And you know what? Plus 155. It doesn't get my tits jacked, Dale. It doesn't get my tits jacked. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to juice it, dude. I'm taking
take her by sub.
Yes. Yes.
Take her by sub. Take her by sub, dude.
I love it, dude. It's so good. It's so
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, close my eyes, and all I see is, like, submission.
Stolarenko, 11 professional wins, 10 of which have come by armbar. What did Jessica Rose Clark just lose to against in Stephanie Egger?
Armbar.
So let me tell you something. I know we talk about overexposure, but but women's science. I'm getting choked up. Women's science, Stolarenko plus 155. Stolarenko inside the distance plus 375.
Jesus
Christ. Stolarenko by submission is plus 500.
It's science.
It's science. Science.
It's,
and then if you want to hedge, fight doesn't go to decision, plus 160. Plus 160. Which is shocking
because all women's fights go to decision, but not this one.
Not this one, because Stolarenko is going to kill herself trying to rip Jessica Rose Clark arm off. And if she can't, in the third round, Jessica Rose Clark's going to knock her out.
It's so good.
It's so good. It's so good.
I'm parlay those two together, Dale.
Can we just parlay all three of them together? Can we literally just mixed result the entire thing?
That's amazing.
But it's overexposure and it's bad betting. It's not good fundamentals when it comes to betting. So take her money line, and the safer play would be inside the distance. Just in case some weird, I'm exhausted, spinning back fist Molly McCann happens. You'd hate to be on the bad side of it. That's the more reasonable approach to this fight.
Yeah,
is equal plus money on inside the distance and Stolarenko money line. If you want to get the nipples a little chafed, take her by sub at plus 500.
Shit.
The same.
Oh, man. You might as well have told me to run a marathon with no tape on the nips, dude. Man, they're chafed as fuck.
I would, man. If you got to toughen those things up, man. You got to toughen them up. All right.
God, man.
And to be honest with you, so much of my feelings toward Jessica Rose Clark comes from the way, just her attitude. She just appears to have a bad attitude. And I'm a big personality guy, and I think she has a bad personality. That's all.
That's fair.
She put a thing up. We've talked about this. We talk about this every time. But I'm going to say it again. She put a thing up on her Instagram where she's like, stop asking me to come on to your stupid little podcasts. I won't do it.
To us?
She said it like a thing, like one of those like ask me anything stickers.
She wrote that to us though.
Yes.
No way.
Yeah, she had a sticker thing that said, and she responded to our sticker, but it wasn't to us. But the response was, stop asking me to come on your dumb little podcast, like plural podcast. Like, stop.
Really?
Yes.
She's playing hard to get. It's kind of hot. I love
because I thought it was one of those things, like, hey, this is a good opportunity. Maybe she'll see, ask me anything. Hey, would love to have you come on our show. And her response was, she showed the sticker, and then it said, stop asking me to come on your dumb little podcast.
She's a tricky one. She's, I love it. She's tricky though.
And you're by yourself. She trains and lives in Vegas. She's for the streets. All right, here we go. I will tell you this. If she agrees to come on the show, you're doing that one by yourself. I won't talk
to her. She will be mine.
is the next fight a women's fight as well?
No.
Is it Jessica I, Macy Barber?
No. It's this one right here.
Brad Tavares plus 118 taking on Driscus Duplessis. I think this is a fantastic spot on Brad Tavares, if I'm being honest. Duplessis has not looked great in his wins. He has, don't get me wrong, he has won, but he's done so in while the finishes were emphatic, he like didn't look good up until the finishes. Like he just doesn't, not a big dude. And I mean, what was it? What promotion did he fight it out of in South Africa? Like he just
If it's Jungle Fights, bro.
No, it's not Jungle Fights. That's Brazil. It's like Rhino Fight or something like that. What? What was it? Hold on.
Jungle Fights.
EFC. EFC. What's that? It's some sort of South African fight league. And then he fought
in EFA. It's in the game.
No. That's EA Sports, but okay. I like Brad Tavares here. I think Brad's looked good in his last few fights. I think he's finally comfortable in his big grown ass man body. Still quick. He's experienced. He's fought the best in the game. Like Tavares has fought fantastic names. People much better than Duplessis, and you're getting Tavares here plus money. I think it's a great spot for him. I'm going to take him there because it's more a fade on Duplessis than it is belief in Brad Tavares. I just don't think Duplessis is very good.
You're saying Duplessis. I think it's Duplessis. So I'm going to say Duplessis for the next 1 minute here.
Did this last Saturday, did your pronunciation lines in the sand, did that work well for you?
It did not.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Keep going. Cool. Duplessis. Yep.
I'm going to say Duplessis. Duplessis, dude, is someone that comes in and just wings shots. And it's the same type of thing with Duplessis on the ground, dude. It's a guy that will like roll into these crazy submissions if in fact he can find him. But everything's very raw. It's almost like a little high schooler coming into a college party and deciding he can drink with the big boys, dude. It just doesn't happen like that. You have to take your time. And Brad Tavares is that 40-year-old that just like wings fucking triple IPAs and says, I've done seen some shit. The guy has seen some shit. He's got great takedown defense. He's a very well-rounded game. He can pick his shots. Mm-hmm. So someone that wings shots versus someone that can pick his shots. I think that Duplessis is going to blow his load very early in this fight. And I think Brad Tavares is going to take over in the later rounds, pick up some points. I'm taking Tavares, dude.
Yeah, he's a winger and a blower. You're right. All right, Tavares it is. I like it.
Winging and blowing.
What do you feel about Duplessis' nickname, Still Knox?
How is he spelling Knox?
Like knockout. K-N-O-C-K-S.
That's lame.
Okay.
All right. What do you think?
It feels like shorthand slang that makes more sense in a foreign country that's not the United States.
Okay. That's fair.
That's how I feel about it. All right. Now is it Jessica and Macy Barber?
Yes.
Yeah. Jessica Evil Eye 15-10 taking on Macy Barber at 10-2. Jessica I plus 240, Macy Barber minus 282. I've said it before. I will say it again. There is not a woman on the planet Earth, not named Valentina Shevchenko, that deserves to be greater than a minus 250. Here we are. We have Macy Barber to minus 280. I will not play Macy Barber at this price. Give me Jessica Evil Eye at this price all day long. She is going to Caitlin Chukagian, that giant forehead of Macy Barber. You're going to see more jabs than a COVID clinic. She is going to absolutely pepper Macy Barber and that giant five head of hers for three rounds, 15 minutes of inaction and grunting. Jessica I by split decision. Yes, please. And thank you. Cash that.
You're joking. I know you're joking right now.
Nope.
I know that like you don't like Team Alpha Male because I love Team Alpha Male. I know you don't like Macy Barber because she did beat Punchless Alumni in Miranda Maverick. I understand that. I understand it. Jessica I is awful. She is pitiful. She needs to go to another promotion. I don't understand how she is still relevant. She's fucking awful promoting herself. She's an awful fighter. She literally has nothing good about the way that she fights. Macy Barber is a brute. She is strong. She's a bully in the cage. And I'm sorry, Jessica I, who's overweight for the division, who comes in soft, does not have a good cardio tank. Macy Barber is going to come in and muscle her up against the cage, not let Jessica I do a Caitlin Chukagian by any means, because you have to have footwork and you have to have cardio. Jessica I is old. She sucks. I don't know if I mentioned that. and you have a young, hot stud. And what I mean by hot, I mean hot meaning like she fires shots. She's not actually hot, but fires shots. Macy Barber's on a good trajectory. She's got the momentum. She's Team Alpha Male, of course, for life. Jessica Eye is awful. How is this a step up in competition for Macy Barber? If anything, I was like, was this a fight that like maybe fell through and then she got like a late replacement?
Yes. Yes.
It is. Okay. Yeah. What was the dropout?
The original fight was Casey O'Neill versus Jessica Eye. Macy Barber took that spot. And Jessica Eye is above Macy in the ranks. That's why she took it.
It's just absolutely shocking. Macy Barber should be fighting Casey O'Neill. That makes more sense. This is a softball. It's a joke, dude. This is like, you want the lock of all lock parlays, dude? Macy Barber with whoever you want. Fuck it. That is like a joke. You want like you want the one leg on the eight legger that's going to hit? It's going to be Macy Barber.
Nope. Women's science, Jessica Evil Eye, plus 240.
No, it doesn't apply here because yes, Jessica Eye sucks. No, absolutely not. It's retarded. Retarded.
Jessica Eye. Jessica Eye. You hear?
That's disgusting. Hey.
A few moments later.
No, there's no way. Dale, I'll make a bet with you right now if Jessica Eye wins.
Okay, what's the bet?
I will do the next podcast with, remember how we did it, the bag chips on my ball sack?
Yep, the chip.
I'll do it shirtless with the bag chips on my nipples the entire episode.
All right, and that's if Jessica Eye wins. Yes. What if Macy Barber wins?
Same thing for you.
I'm not. you have got to get away from my nipples. I need you to pick something else that does not involve my nipples.
Dude, where's the confidence now?
It's not confidence. It's I have hypersensitive nipples. We talk about this every show. You keep talking about how I always talk about basketball. I feel like we talk about my nipples every single show. Dude, I cannot clip stuff to my nipples. I can't even wear tight t-shirts because it feels like there's electricity running through my chest. I cannot clip a chip clip to my nipples. I'll sit here and I won't be able to focus. I won't be able to do the show.
All right, fine. Then if I win, then I'm going to Amazon Prime you a hat that says Biden is my president. And you have to wear it the whole episode.
Fair enough. Fair.
Okay.
All right. So to be clear, if Jessica I wins, you're going to do a show shirtless with chip clips on your nipples.
Yep.
And if Macy Barber wins, I have to wear, I'll buy the hat because it doesn't make any sense that you buy the hat.
All right.
I have to wear a Joe Biden hat.
Yeah, or you could say Biden Kamala 2024, whatever you want.
Okay. Okay. Which is not a knock on anybody that votes for them because this is American. you can vote for whoever you want.
Right. Right.
You can vote for whoever you want. And I respect your ability and right to vote however you please. But the purpose
don't backstep of, if you don't,
I'm not, let's shut your mouth for a second. Let me finish this. But the reason why this is punishment for me is because I vehemently disagree with this administration. So if you're wondering why that's a punishment, that is why.
That, or actually maybe, I don't know. I'll decide come fight day and I'll post it on our Instagram. Follow our Instagram at Punches MMA. Maybe it'll be like a hat that says take away our guns.
That's more upsetting to me than anything else. I don't like that at all.
Yeah, that'll be good. Or actually, maybe a hat that says "I took the vaccination."
Oh man! Now we're getting into.
All right, I'll decide. I'll decide. But here, shake my hand.
Shake my hand. Shake my hand.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. Boston says I'm missing the sounds of the cans clinking in the trash can.
Oh no.
What'd you do? You good?
No.
Okay. That's what happens when Trey drinks too many cut waters. He messes with his microphone. That's all right. I'm going to move on to the next fight while he's doing that. I believe the next fight is Andre Muniz versus Uriah Hall. Is it Andre? Yeah. And get the Uriah Hall plus 265, Andre Muniz at minus 315. If you're on Muniz, take him by sub. I feel like that's the play.
Yeah.
If you're on him, take him by sub, bring that number down. I don't love him enough in this spot to say like this is a confident parlay piece. Because Uriah Hall's fought some great folks and he's been around for a long time and has great training partners and comes out of a good camp, but he's a constant head case. My only concern is Muniz has one path to victory. Uriah Hall knows that, and a simply executed and well-executed game plan should be able to thwart that, even though Muniz is next level jits. I would say if you're on Muniz, cheapen the price, take him by sub.
I like that. Perfect breakdown.
Yeah. So, Austin, you said it. Fantastic, buddy. All right. Let's see here. What's the next one? Is it Gabe Green? Is it Jim Miller versus Cowboy?
Oh, no. Sorry. There's no way that Ian Garry and Gabe Green usurped Donald Cerrone and Jim Miller. This is it. This is the co-main on the prelims.
Okay. So, well, it can't be because we have Riddell and Jalen Turner. We have three fights left. We have Jim Miller and Cowboy. We've got Ian Garry and Gabe Green, and we've got Jalen Turner and Brad Riddell.
All right. Let's do this one.
Okay. Ian Garry -170, Gabe Green +145, over and around to 2.5. We all are in agreeance. Everybody, the collective MMA world is in agreeance that Ian Garry is not as good as Ian Garry believes he is.
100%.
And that the fade is coming. And this very well may be the fade. Like there's a very real chance on Saturday that Gabe Green goes out there and just shit pumps Ian Garry. That's a very real thing that can happen. The problem is I don't believe that Vegas is ever going to give us the line that causes the handle to swing so drastically that we all know that that's the one. So they're going to continue to give us these -170 +150 bouts when it comes to Ian Garry to minimize loss on the handle. So if you're on Gabe Green, who will have superior wrestling and have more power, I applaud you and I encourage you to take that. If you're on Ian Garry because of the creativity and he essentially already fought and beat a version of Gabe Green and Darian Weeks, I'm okay with that too. In all sincerity, I don't feel strong enough about either one of these gentlemen yet to feel like I'm going to go ahead and draw a line in the sand and say, this is my guy, this is my play. My initial leaning when this fight was first announced was Gabe Green will be the one to beat Ian Garry. However, just looking back, watching Gabe Green's last fight, makes me a little nervous. We'll see what happens. Vegas is not going to overexpose themselves when it comes to Ian Garry. They won't do it. So this would either be a dog or pass situation for me. I don't love Garry enough to put him on a parlay. I don't love the price at -170. It's dog or pass, and I'm most likely just going to pass.
Dude, Ian Garry's, I mean, I get it. You're from Ireland. You like at this point in time, you just have to like adopt the I can talk shit thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Ian Garry's is so cringy. It's so bad.
It's forced. It's not real.
It's super forced. But it's not like Colby Covington's shit is forced, but it's forced, but it's unique.
Yeah.
Ian Garry's is forced and it's just been played out. It's bullshit. Gabe Green, to your point, has a good wrestling base. And what I like about that is he has a lot of wrestle this to the ground, get some rear naked chokes and sink him in. Now, Ian Garry hasn't really been submitted to anything, but that's because he's fantastic on the feet. So, yep. I mean, Gabe Green has the ability to get this thing down to the ground, dog or pass.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you had the loss to Danny Rodriguez if you're Gabe Green. Beat Phil Rowe, but he was so much bigger than Phil Rowe. Mm-hmm. And then Johan Lioness, I mean, he knocked him out, but I mean that I don't think Lioness is a UFC caliber fighter, so I didn't love that win for him. Outside Lioness? Of that, yeah, that Johan isn't that how you say his last name? Lioness.
I don't know.
Okay,
it's pretty badass though.
Yeah. Only name that really stands out on the record of Gabe Green is a loss to Jalen Turner in Bellator. And he got beat in the first round, like the first 30 seconds. So,
okay.
I just don't have enough about either one of these guys to really care about it. Dog or pass. All right. Jim Miller taking on Cowboy Cerrone.
I'm so excited.
Are you?
I am. I cannot wait for you to break this down.
Awesome. So Jim Miller is going to dog walk Cowboy Cerrone on Saturday night. And it is one of my more,
Quick question. Who won their first fight?
That cowboy.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, keep going.
Yep, cowboy won their first fight. I would say that the careers have taken... they've diverged in a wood since then.
Oh, Robert Frost. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Here's Cowboy. We're getting him at plus money right now, justifiably so, because he's been awful lately. Jim Miller, sizable favorite, justifiably so, because he's been fantastic lately. Cowboy himself said he doesn't want to fight any young guys anymore because they're too good. Jim Miller, consequently, has only fought young guys and has beaten them because Jim Miller is old man strength with old man tricks, and he's a wily, savvy veteran who's going to utilize all those tips, tricks, and the adjustment and speed. Imagine having a guy as fast as Nicholas Mata punching you and then switching up to Cowboy Cerrone. That's like getting out of your actual car and getting in a golf cart. That's what that's like. it's unbelievable. That's like getting out of a Ferrari and getting on horseback. They are not the same. It's just a completely different level of speed. Knocking out Eric Gonzalez, just submitting Roosevelt Roberts. I don't understand what on earth is Cowboy going to do? What is he going to do? How on earth is he going to beat Jim Miller on Saturday? You cannot commit. He got beat by, like, if you grew Jim Miller in a lab and sold him at a discount food store. Alex Morono is that when it comes to Jim Miller. Like, he's that version of Jim Miller. And Cowboy got crushed by Alex Morono. Cowboy has lost to Joe Selecki. And listen, he's lost to Joe Selecki. He's lost to Craig Jones. He lost to Alex Morono. He lost to Anthony Pettis. He lost to Conor McGregor. He lost to Justin Gaethje. He lost to Tony Ferguson. The last time that Cowboy Oliveira won a fight, Trey, we weren't doing this show.
Bro.
In the history of punchless MMA, Cowboy Cerrone has never won a fight.
Dude, the first fight you just said there that Cowboy Cerrone had lost to was Joe Selecki. Oh, well, okay, Dale. Jim Miller also lost to Joe Selecki.
Joe Selecki slick on the ground. It was a grappling match.
It doesn't matter. Dude, you act like he's fighting all his young bucks, dude. He's losing to old dogs. Bro,
are you picking Cowboy?
He lost, dude. He lost to Vince Pichel, who's old as fuck. He lost to Scott Hot Sauce Holtze, old as fuck, dude. Age has nothing to do with it. Now, it's a little bit contradictory to the thing I said about, you know, Tom Cruise saying that ring rust is not a thing. Cutwaters are hitting deep. You can tell by my pauses, bro. They're hitting deep right now.
You're trying to put your words together. I respect.
Together. It's gonna sound like I'm chewing, but I'm not. I'm just trying to survive here. Donald Cerrone is gonna win this fight.
I will hold on a second. I will forego the Macy Barber bet and put it on this one. Then do it for this one instead. If you're on Cowboy, do it for this one because I'm not. There's
I
not
know
a
you
fight.
Would do that though.
There's
no, let's
not
a... parlay. Let's parlay. Let's do the first parlay. Let's do the nipple chip parlay. I'm going to take Cerrone Barber parlay. You're going to take Miller I parlay.
Okay. Good. That's almost like equal favorites and equal underdogs. Okay. Cool.
That's fair.
Fair enough.
Shake my hand.
Oh, and Boston Bruce bet says plus a shoey. I'll just dome a beer. I don't want to drink beer out of my shoe anymore.
Bro, my shoes are off.
I got so sick last time because I had foot powder in there. It's such a bad experience. It was such a bad experience.
Well, get a different shoe. I'm sure you got some, you got three pairs of those N90, whatever they are, the New Balance shoes.
No, I don't.
I'm sure you got those.
I don't have those.
Bro. Are you telling me you're mowing that lawn Monday through Friday with the same shoe? Give me a break.
I'm actually mowing my lawn in old Air Max.
Oh, Asics. No, Asics.
I have Asics. I have all black Asics, but I'm mowing my grass in old Air Maxes.
Okay. All right. So. That's pretty old as well.
Yeah.
All right, so shake my hand. That's what we're parlaying. Yeah, that's good.
Fair enough. All right. Feature prelim, Brad Riddell, Jalen Turner. I think we're both on Jalen Turner here, right?
This one's kind of easy.
We're both on Jalen Turner here?
Yeah, we're both on Jalen Turner.
Okay. I like Brad Riddell. You can get him at plus 130, taking on Jalen Turner at minus
130.
What?
You just said we're both on Jalen Turner, and now you said I like Brad Riddell.
I do. I physically – like, I like Brad Riddell. Like, I like him as a fighter.
But sexually.
Sure. Yeah.
You said physically, and you said I like Brad Riddell, and I asked you, are you picking Brad Riddell, and you said no, and then now you're saying that.
I said I like Brad Riddell at plus 130 here, but the second part of my sentence before you woed me was going to be, but against Jalen Turner, he's going to lose this fight because Jalen Turner is going to have a massive reach advantage. And I think while Riddell will own a power advantage and is obviously the more accomplished kickboxer, Jalen Turner is a more complete mixed martial artist, and he's not going to sit there and play the game with Brad Riddell of a kickboxing match. He's going to keep it distance until he needs to like execute, and then he's going to close the distance. He's going to try to push Riddell up against the cage, take him down, and he's going to choke him out. I like Jalen Turner here, and I like him by submission.
By submission?
Ooh, yeah, I think he's going to choke out Brad Riddell. I really do. I think he's going to choke him out. I think he's going to rear naked choke. He's going to rear naked choke in the second round.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. Okay. I'm cool with it.
Cool with that?
Yeah, me likey.
All right, let's run through these real quick.
Cool.
Jessica Rose Clark, Julia Stolyarenko.
Stolyarenko by sub.
Stolyarenko, I love it.
So good.
Brad Tavares, Driscus Duplessis.
Ooh, Tavares. Well-rounded. Well. Yep.
Jessica I, Macy Barber.
Ooh, I'm taking Barber. You're on I. Shocking.
Yep. Uriah Hall, Andre Muniz.
Muniz by sub. Muniz Dogger by pass sub. Kind of play, though.
Yep. Gabe Green, Ian Garry.
We're going to take Gabe Green.
Okay.
Dogger pass, too.
Dogger pass. Yep. Jim Miller, Cowboy Cerrone.
You're on Miller. I'm on Cerrone. We are parlaying. You are taking Miller and you are taking I am taking Cerrone and I am taking Barber.
Okay. We don't have to put it on our slip on Saturday, but I just want to say it now that I believe that Jim Miller and Israel Adesanya parlay together at minus 130 is too good to pass up. Jalen Turner, Brad Riddell.
Jalen Turner.
Jalen Turner as well. Pedro Munhoz, Sean O'Malley.
I'm on my slip, which is going to probably get overrun by you because you'll start saying all these big words. I would like to take O'Malley by decision. I'd like to take Munhoz inside the distance.
Okay. Then do that.
What are you doing?
I'm taking Munhoz. I think he's the best spot dog wise on the card.
I feel like he's going to take the bag from Dana.
Maybe. Robbie Lawler, Brian Barberena.
Lawler.
Robert Lawler. Okay, yep.
Robert.
Sean Strickland, Alex Pereira.
Pereira.
It's a tough one for me. I'll go Pereira because of the storyline. Volkanovski, Max Holloway.
Volk.
Head says Volk, heart says Max.
That's not fair because that's the same as me. That's,
I know. I'm just saying it out loud. I just.
You act like I'm waving an Australian flag, dude. I'm not.
Not at all. And I think he's from New Zealand, is he not?
What's the difference?
Listen, I want to apologize on behalf of Trey here. And maybe he's not from New Zealand. I'm not sure. Izzy, Jared Cannonier.
Izzy.
All right, cool.
Wait, hold on. I want to clarify this real quick before we sign off.
Yeah. You're so drunk. Like, what?
No, I just feel like the Australians are all rooting for Volk. So, like, what's
the 100%. Problem? There is no problem.
If he's from New Zealand.
There is no problem. But the one thing that all of the people that listen to our show constantly tell us is that we get all of the Oceania guys mixed up.
Yeah, but it's okay. We're still rooting for their dudes.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'm trying to make an effort to get it right for them. They listen to us.
Sounds like you're creating division. I don't appreciate it.
I'm literally going for Volkanovski. How is that creating division?
Because, dude, we're all one big family, and you're trying to create like separation of church and state here.
Oh, one race, the human race. If you don't listen to it, or if you don't follow us anywhere, you can at Punchless MMA, anywhere you possibly can. We appreciate everybody listening to the show. Thanks for everybody that downloaded and shared the last episode. You guys are what makes this show great. Thanks for tuning in the live stream. If it's your first time joining us, please consider doing it again. Thumbs up, like, share, subscribe, all that crap. We love you. So support the show by supporting show sponsors. Buy Trey's book. He'll sign a copy of it for you. And we love you guys. Be good to each other.
A solid bang bang.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.